Hey everyone, Bees with Ben. Wow, how awesome is this? Spring is here. How cool is that? Let the madness begin. It's funny. It's absolutely, if you're a beekeeper, it is hectic. Even if you're a hobbyist beekeeper, it is time to check those hives for swarms and queen cells and all that jazz. So exciting times ahead. I love spring, especially the weather. I think everyone's smiling and happy as soon as that sun's poking out. Everyone's outside, so it's awesome to see. Now, this is going to be the last episode until December. I'll do my best to sneak in a couple more, but to be honest, it's going to be the last. For the sheer fact is, it is hectic for me. It's absolutely hectic. In a good way. I absolutely love it, but I just struggle with the time to record and upload podcasts. So it'll be the last one. So I want to thank you to all the listeners and all you guys and girls for listening. It's been over 2 years now, and it's been very exciting. I absolutely love doing them. So don't worry, I will be back with some awesome episodes. And I've got some really cool people lined up, which is really excited. So that'll be good. And we'll get some of the, I find during Christmas time, it's the downtime for those in the Northern Hemisphere. So yeah, we can talk to those people, you know, all those people up, a lot of it's snowing. They're in areas where it snows. So very, very excited for that. Now, I thought this little episode would be a little bit different. I thought I'd talk about setting up a beekeeping business. I'm going to talk about my experience, the highs and the lows, what to do. Probably not so much what not to do, because you know we're all running our own different race. But you know, a couple of things is, yeah, we're going to do that. But before I do, we jump into that, I want to read out a message. Awesome. I love the messages. I get a lot of text messages, so I really appreciate them. So send me a text message, you know, give me advice if there's something I could do better or if there's someone you want to hear, let us know. But this one's from Dan Aubrey in WA. Goes, hi Ben, love the latest podcast. I recently listened to the interview with Beekeeping Today with Katrina Davitt on feeding banana as a supplement, but as ripe bananas, but she claims that the banana smell doesn't trigger defensive pheromone, but more an activity pheromone, e.g. the bees sense the need to do something but not sure of what, which can then lead to a defense because that is obviously something to do when there is a beekeeper ripping open the hive. If you haven't listened, I highly recommend it. Loving the podcast, mate. Would love to hear some more West Aussies, especially in regard to Rottnest Island queen breeding and also Michael Palmer and Randy Oliver and also JP the Bee Man. Cheers from WA, Dan Aubrey. Thanks, mate. Really appreciate the messages. And I receive a lot of them, so I just want to say, I appreciate your time sending that. So, a beekeeping business. You want to turn your hobby, your little sideline gig, into something full-time. Well, it's not easy. I'm going to quote Mary Loretta. To be successful, the first thing you need to do is fall in love with your work. And that is so true. If you want to do bees, you've got to love them. And the bees don't stop, so neither does the beekeeper. It can be, or it is, you know, during spring, summertime, it can be 7 days a week. And that's what I do. I will be working from now, September, October, November, December. My next proper day off will be Christmas Day. It's actually interesting. I do get people call me on Christmas Day sometimes if I've got a bee issue or a wasp issue. So, which we're going to talk about, as I said, what I do and how I do it. But my experience as a beekeeper. So, I started off as a business in 2008. I'm a chef by trade, as many of you will be aware. And I suppose being a chef, you know, in the 90s, used to slog it out. I'll never forget, I went through a stage where I was actually working two full-time jobs. So I was doing 90 hours a week. And that helped my bad addiction back then, which was gambling. I absolutely love gambling, which I don't anymore. I haven't done that for a long, long time. But that was the more money I could earn, the more I could sort of spend is what I... I used to work hard and play hard when I was a youngster. So I was working two full-time jobs. I suppose that gave me that work ethic of, you know, you just got to do it. If there's, you know, functions on or there's, you know, the a la carte restaurant, we had to prepare food, you just have to do it. It was as simple as that. And I suppose I align that a little bit with the bees. Now, if there's a day off, there's a sunny day and I want to take the day off, well, sometimes, no, it doesn't work. So important that you think about that. If you're turning into a B business, it is not a Monday to Friday type job. So I was a chef, and then I started to become sort of, I had a family, young family at that stage. I call it round one family, had three children, and early stages when my daughter was born, working nights, you know, working long hours, it just wasn't sort of cutting the mustard, so to speak. So I end up, I was always had fancy critters. I was had freshwater Amazonian stingrays and had lizards and pythons and snakes and all these weird and wonderful creatures. And I used to go to a shop in Glen Waverley called Amazing Amazon. And I used to buy all my things from there. And that was really cool because I had used to got to know the crew down there, the lads. And they actually offered me a job. And this was maybe 2004, 2006, I reckon, around about there. And yeah, that would be about 2004. And I was buying my things there, got to talking to lads, and offered me a job. And I thought, fantastic. I was right in the fish. I remember as a youngster, I used to work at a fish farm, you know, bringing ornamental fish for the trades of various, you know, all sorts of things from, you know, native Australian New Guinea rainbow fish to, you know, fancy live bearers, some, you know, really interesting guppies and, you know, really colourful ones and tetras and catfish, all these really, really cool fish. So I just love breeding things. And when I was younger, I used to love breeding Himalayan dwarf rabbits and ferrets and rats and all sorts of things. But yeah. So they offered me a job and I started working there and it was awesome. Initially, I was a little bit like, wow. I was 4 days in and I was cleaning fish tanks. And having been, I was lucky and blessed to the chef I was, you know, I cooked for a lot of celebrities. To be, you know, mingling with, you know, big celebrities and cooking food for them to all of a sudden clean the fish tanks, I thought, what the F have I done? I was like, you know, I was literally at the bottom of the barrel cleaning fish tanks. Anyway, and I had bees at that stage and only a few hives. I was living in Blackburn North. And what have I done? So anyway, so now I persevered. I thought I'll give it a crack. I used to starting 10 till 6, you know, 5 days a week. You know, some weekends, but that was all right. Had my 2 days off, and I used to obviously work my bees, you know, on the days off and so forth. And that's one good thing about daylight savings here in Melbourne. You know, you get that extra. You can be working bees at 8 o'clock at night, you know, just before the sun goes down, which is good. So then I started 2008. I was sort of getting right into the bees, really sort of enjoying it, working with them. And I started obviously selling a few nukes. I started catching swarms, and really, really sort of started kicking along. I really, as I said, really enjoyed it. Absolutely loved what I was doing. So when I say pet shop, they don't have the illusions of cats or dogs. You know, we didn't sell their cat or dog products. It was nothing like that. It was all, you know, things like Australian venomous tarantulas, you know, various snakes, lizards, and all sorts of things. So all that sort of exotic animals. So not cats or dogs, no small animals. So, yeah, so really, really cool. And I was building up my bee business, and I'll never forget, it would be probably close, maybe getting close to 6 years ago. I become the boss, actually worked up the chain. I was really blessed, actually, because I learned a lot there. The owner, Paul Stokes, is really, really good to me. Really good, you know, overseas trips, you know, multiple times a year. Had my own company van, and it was really good. It was funny using that van. Driving around everywhere and catching bees, catching swarms. So I really sort of got through that chain there, and Paul, as I said, was really good to me. But my bees were starting to take over. So I went from 5 days a week to 4 days a week to 3 days a week. And I'll never forget, it was roughly about 6 years ago, I was working bees. It was about late September, catching swarms, and I was parked over the side of Church Street, Richmond. And he sends me a message, and we need to talk about something. So I rang him up, and he's talking about the wages. And he said, we've got to do something about it. The wage bill's getting high. And I was the manager still at the time. And I said, Paul, I'm sorry. I can't do it. You know, I mean, the bees are absolutely full-time. So he said, no worries. Really good. Still friends. We talk periodically. And off I went. All of a sudden, it was late September. This is it. I'm doing bees full time. So luckily I'd bought a van, actually bought an iLoad as well because I thought it was really, really cool. Got it badged up, Ben Spees, some people may have seen it. zipping around Melbourne. It's done 260,000 kilometres now. So anyway, so I was working away and it was really good. You know, the income, the stream's coming through. I charge for swarms and I think it's important that people do charge for them because it is a service. You know, people have an illusion that you got a box of freebies. Well, no, it's not always the case. You know, even if you charge $50, you know, I charge a lot more than that. You know, I mean, I sort of my base rate's around about $220 to charge for to remove some bees because there's a lot to it. You got to remember also two foul broods. You know, American foul brood can be. It's on the rarer side, but can be in a swarm. So you got to remember that one. So, and plus the gear and doing it, plus, you know, you got to have insurance, public liability insurance and various certification. It could be if you're working on construction sites, building sites, you know, you got to have a white card. So all these things cost money. So it's, I think it's important that people do charge for that. And we'll talk about pricing as well as to why and what I do in regards to, you know, how do I charge. So that was that. So I got through, that was really cool. This is my first year on my own and I started doing wasps because what happened is people would call me up and say, I've got bees, but they're actually, in fact, European wasps. So I started charging for that. I thought, geez, I wasn't too far in. I thought, geez, I've got to get my pest control license. So I went to AgServe in Port Melbourne, done the week course there and become a licensed pest control technician. So I did that. And then a couple of, sometimes I get the odd jobs where it might be a spider spray or something like that. And that was, you know, having that sort of money in the back pocket. And because the more money I was making, the more I was pouring it back into the bees. You know, as you know, it's just almost an endless game because you always need equipment. And that was the biggest thing, you know, you need stuff. So I was pouring money into my business. And then it gets to sort of after Easter. So things are getting quiet. So then I'll never forget, I had a credit card at the time. It was that $20,000 limit. So I'm starting to, how do I get through winter? Because you don't have that stream, you know, you might sell a little bit of honey. But, you know, you're not selling heaps of it. You know what I mean? I'm only just starting to build up this little business. So all of a sudden, you know, this 20 grand gets maxed out. So I apply for a $30,000 limit. And then that gets maxed out. And I apply for a $40,000 limit. And I was like, wow, this is what's going on. Like, you know, imagine an 18% interest rate. The amount of interest I was getting charged was phenomenal. But spring was around the corner and all of a sudden September, those pollination jobs, you know, various blueberries, organic farms, like organic cherries, apples, pears, peaches, that type of thing. So then all of a sudden, bang, I paid it off. So it was really sort of tough at the very start to actually start up the business. Really, really was. And I was lucky. I sort of learned, and once again, I related to the pet shop at Maisie Amazon I was working at, is the diversification. You know, to diversify and also listening to people. And I've got good friends and a good friend of mine, John McGrath. He is an absolute legend and my hat's off to him and a big shout out to him because he's done some awesome work. He helps me with the blogs and, you know, rewriting those for me, you know, because my grammar is terrible. And so he's awesome. He edited my book for me, For the Love of Bees, which is a book I sell on my online website. So big shout out. Thank you, John. So I learned, you know, these things. I started talking to people and learned to diversify. So I got, well, in order to try and make a self-sustaining business over 12 months, you know, things happen in seasons. You know, you're selling bees in spring, doing bee removals, you know, you're selling honey, wasps and so forth, a bit of beekeeping gear and off it sort of goes. So I learned to sort of diversify. Now, we're going to talk about that, you know, finding your niche because that's super, super important to find your niche. But I've got to mention two very important, make sure if you're going to start your beekeeping business, work with people. You know, I think there's a saying, three horses together is stronger than five horses working alone. And that is so true. So, you know, find people to work with, you know. Now, that may not even be beekeepers. You know, I mean, you may know someone in sales and marketing. You may know someone in another industry, you can sort of work with them. I don't know, you may know a teacher. Because I tell you now, there is that much work out there for people. It is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. I get to a point now, me personally, and it's taken years and years to do this. But I've got to a point now that I don't answer my phone during spring. No, text messages only. That's the only way I can actually get to people because it is that crazy. Absolutely crazy. The only time I can answer my phones is bright and early, 6 or 7 in the morning or at night time is because it's just during the day. Because I find I made a mistake once, and that's another little side story. Made a mistake once where this gentleman rang me up and I was working bees. I think one of my apiaries, only about 30 in this apiary. And it was hot and the bees were stingy and it just wasn't, I was tired. He rang me up and he wanted to have a chat. Now you can imagine, put yourself in that scenario. You're busy, tired, hot. You don't want to chat. And I was a bit short and sweet. You know, doing those ones. And that was the only bad review I ever received. So I learned from that. I never look so much at the good reviews, but sometimes the bad. Well, no, take that back. Retract that. I love the good reviews because it's important because you know you're on the right mission. But I look at the bad reviews because they're the ones, what have I done wrong? And I'll never forget that. And so now I just don't answer my phone because if I can't give someone my full, undivided, 100% attention, I don't answer it. So that's where text messages are great. And thank you for everyone who does text me and because they can appreciate that. So thank you. So starting a business, so diversifying. So there's different ways because a lot of beekeepers and that sort of do certain things like there's, if we go back a couple of episodes, I think episode one and 45 with Simeon and Paul Valkenberg, two brothers over in South Australia, they're awesome what they do. They're basically two sources of income is pollination and honey. Awesome. And that works for them because that's what they've done. But if you're in an urban environment, and I think there's different ways of doing it, and diversifying can be the key. Now, the only problem is with diversifying, you can spread yourself too thin. So that's an issue there. So positives and negatives. And there's another one, Tommy Daniels, a previous podcast, is in the Yarra Valley. And, you know, pollination, honey. Now, those lads, they're running a lot of hives. They're running over, they're running over, 1,000 hives. Or more. So obviously they can do that. But once that happens, obviously you're dealing with trucks and you're dealing with forklifts and all these things. So for me, I found my little niche is actually diversifying. So I do things, I sell bees. So obviously sell nukes. I sell full-size hives as well. I sell a few queens. I mentor people. Pollination. Now, pollination is an interesting one because what I've learned as well is I target my organic farms. And they're the best because they don't use shit on their fruit and or veggies for that matter. So they're really good. So I find they're absolutely best. So you do the best you can with them, but also to have a relationship with the orchardist. Some chemicals, I won't say I'm necessarily against chemicals. I don't like them. Certain ones I don't like is obviously Roundup and things like that, the repercussions of that. But it's a lot of these chemicals, it's not the chemicals that kill the bees, it's how they're applied. So remember that one as well. So, but once again, I'd love to live in a world where there is no chemicals because there are adverse effects. But certain things I can understand they've got to use, fungicides for brown rot and certain things. But that's where, there's a go back a few episodes with Crispin Boxall from South Australia, Entomovectoring. There is a business there that's just waiting to be, launched and taken over, Entomovectoring. And if you're not sure about it, just go back a few episodes, Crispin Boxall. That's really cool. And that's using bees to use a organic product to stop and inhibit brown rot in strawberries and cherries. I think that's the two primary crops that they've done. And it's absolutely brilliant. And how no one's even gone run with that, I'm surprised. I've got the little device here. I wanted to do it, but I suppose that's my problem is, I've diversified too much. So pollination. Now, the other thing is too, what I found during winter time, obviously honey sales go up. Everyone's putting their honey on porridge and that type of thing. So they absolutely love doing that. So honey sales go up. But beeswax candles, beeswax candles, there's not a heap of people do them. Now, the sales pitch, if you've got to tell people, beeswax will burn 4 times longer than some of these paraffin soy-based candles. Now, a soy-based candle may smell nice, but quite often not. Now, not all the time, but quite often not. It's got paraffin in it. Now, paraffin's a byproduct of petroleum. So, if you tell someone like, well, you're potentially burning fundamentally like a car in your lounge room, may smell nice because it smells like some fragrant scent like roses or jasmine or something. Yeah, that's nice. But burning a pure beeswax candle. So, and they're used a lot in various religious type ceremonies. You know, there's candle mass, the Christian one. There's the Catholic one that they use, obviously, during Easter. The Greek Orthodox use a lot of beeswax candles. So there is a market in that. And there is a lady, once again, I've interviewed her, Kate, who has Queen Bee Candles. She's in Sydney. And that's what she does, beeswax candles. So you can find your niche. And it's important, if you do find your niche, you know, stick at it. It is, it's a hard, hard slog. It is really, really hard. So there's obviously that. And then I do things like, obviously I mentioned pest control because people, you know, sometimes don't know the difference between a bee or a wasp, and that's an extra service, you know, and to actually be doing those, I think it's good. It's good for the client. It's good for the environment because those nasty European wasps are a horrendous little species. Now, the other thing as I do, talk about diversifying, which once again, not a heap of people do, but it's propolis. You know, I've got nearly all my hives have a propolis mat. So I collect the propolis and there's a market for that. You know, pure Australian propolis, which is really good. Another one I've got all ready to rock and roll this season is some bee venom collectors. And these little bee venom collectors are going to be brilliant because, you know, you sell bee venom, I think, you know, $220 a gram. And that's there's different ones, but the ones I have by Wild Labs, James Watt. It's a, once again, previous episode, go back. But there's a market in that. Why isn't people doing more of it? Because all the bee venom seems to be coming predominantly from China. And, you know, we're living in a day of age now, especially, you know, after COVID or during COVID, I suppose, this pandemic, is, you know, people want Australian products. They'll pay more. They will pay more for an Australian product. So there's another one that I do there. Now, another one, here's a tip for someone. Once again, why has no one done it? Now, a lot of people buy honey for hay fever. You know, they want to have that, you know, local honey. Now, when we say local, it doesn't have to be that suburb. Yeah, it's probably a good idea to do that. But having honey from an area, we'll say that. You know, if we said Melbourne, I'm the honey from Beaumaris to Boronia to Blackburn, that honey's going to work. But why has no one done this? Now, I've got a bunch. I've got dozens of pollen traps. Now, my idea, and I've been sitting there looking at it for years, and once again, just haven't had time to sort of set them up and do it, but actually collect pollen and freeze it. Now, you can dehydrate it, buy a dehydrator by all means, but freeze it and sell, like, you know, frozen pollen. You know, I don't know. It's X amount of dollars per 50 grams, per 100 grams. Now, it's things like that. People can mix it in with the honey to actually have it, mix it in with something else, some lukewarm water or something with their food to actually help with hay fever. Call it a, you know, no, I wouldn't call it a remedy because you got to watch things like that on the medical terms, but something that's, yeah, that's going to help, you know, a hay fever helper product. That's, and using that pollen in a way. So why has no one done that? And once again, you could dehydrate it and sell it because the, most of the pollen comes from Western Australia, which is really cool. Now, another one, obviously, as well, is, you know, making, you know, content for people. You know, I don't profit from this. I don't actually make any money. It costs me money to actually do each episode. But you can actually do that. You know, there's the Beekeeping Today, the American podcast. Someone told me, whether this is true or not, but they make $15,000 per episode. And I'd believe that 100%, you know, with sponsors and so forth. Yeah, there's no reason why you can't do that. And especially with YouTube, you know, get paid per view. So creating content, start off free, you know, and start off free because it's important. I'm going to talk about money. It's an interesting one. I think you've got to really, when it comes to marketing, a couple of my tips and tricks is one, SEOs, search engine optimization. You've got to be on top page of Google. You know what I mean? So when someone searches you, they've got to be able to find you. So that's number one. Find you. Everyone's got a phone these days. So you've got to be on the top page of Google. So working that. So talk to someone who's into marketing and obviously computer IT type products and services and that type of thing, because that's important. Finding you as well. Now, things like social media are brilliant. Now, Instagram and Facebook, they're changing. There's like an algorithm, so as to how much, then it's always changing, they're always updating it. But the best one that I recommend that people do, and I'm seeing people, I can't I don't have time, unfortunately. But I love watching them. If I've got, you know, on the can in the morning, got my phone watching TikTok. But TikTok is where it's at because it's got the best algorithms, absolutely the best. So the problem is with Instagram and Facebook, they're now owned by, obviously, it's Meta, which is owned by Facebook. Now, their algorithm is not as good. They've just recently changed it where they want, like Instagram, they want reels, they want videos, they don't want pictures because remember, it used to be a picture platform. But things like that. So people can find you through there and creating content. So whenever I do a post, I look at three things. I either want to entertain someone, I want to either educate someone, or I want to inspire someone. So there's a little trick that I do with when it comes to content on social media. Entertain, inspire, educate. If you remember those three, whenever you do a post, that's really, really going to help, obviously, to get your... you know, your brand out there. And that's another thing with brands. A mistake I made when I started my business is Ben's Bees. Ben's Bees. Now, that's everyone thinks that I've got some full-time workers. And sometimes when people rock up, they're expecting Ben, but they might get Ashley. Now, she's far more attractive than I am. But it's sometimes people, so think about your brand because branding is important. Really is. You know, really got to drive that brand and be passionate about it, because as I said, this is going to be hard work. If you're going to be a full-time beekeeper, it is hard work. And to be honest, I look back now when I started and I was, you know, working at the shop and I was working bees, it actually cost me my first marriage. I look back now because of the hard work. I wasn't home. I was out busy working with bees. So if you've got a partner at home, make sure and you want to do it, that there's someone's going to support you. No one that you're going to be out. You're going to be tired. You're going to stink when you come home because it's hot, sweaty work. So, yeah, so there's so many different income streams. Obviously, the Bee Bushman with YouTube, as I just touched base on that before, you know, pay-per-clicks, which is awesome. Now, the other thing is, too, episode 68 with Simon Mildren, he does a lot of techie stuff. He's produced this really cool bee tracker. He's got, obviously, online, they've got Bee Buddies. So there's all these different things. So that may be your direction you want to go, you know, that techie type stuff. We go, another thing is, once again, we talk about niches and diversifying. So you got to make sure you don't spread like myself, spread yourself too thin, but find your ground, you know, find what you want to do, find what you love. Because in episode 62, Ronnie Voigt in Tassie, you know, Tasmanian Natural Beekeeping, she's awesome. You know, all about the worry hives, all about the laying hives. You know, there's so many different hives out there. Excuse me. There's so many different hives out there. There's all these Russian ones and there's amazing. And that's where, like, okay, another example, you know, being niche, Flow Hive. I'm not sure what sort of dollar values they are to date, but I'm sure it's over 200 million in sales. So, which is absolutely awesome. Now, some people, you know, are the Flow Hive, you know, but with not so keen on them, but no, use that to your advantage. Work with them, you know what I mean? So people need help with their Flow Hives. Now, people are not sure, you know, find that. You know, you can advertise in Facebook pages, Facebook groups. Now, that's the other thing is too, you got to have a hard skin in this industry because while this goes for any industry, people want to shut you down. You know, you're going to get haters. I get them. You would believe, you know, me, my bubbly personality, you know, I get a lot of crap thrown at me sometimes, you know, if I've done something or just recently, I was really it was 2 months ago when the Varroa incursion happened, I was flat out doing articles, you know, just really and it was to actually educate the general public. That was the narrative, the direction that I was going. General public need to know that. And I was just articles every day about it, just really just driving that. And people were like, oh, don't listen to Ben. You've got to listen to ARBIC and New South Wales DPI. Well, my information was coming from there, but I was just putting it in a different format. And, oh, geez, I got roasted. There's a few people absolutely roasted me. But you know what? I don't give a shit. People can throw rocks at me. I don't care. I really, really don't care because it makes me even more passionate, you know, fueling that fire. So you got to have a hard skin. If people shut you down, don't worry. You just get yourself, pick yourself up and push onwards and upwards. And that's just super important that you do that because not everyone's going to love you. And that's like, and I relate it once again to my chef background. I can cook the best, you know, the best food, you know, the best foie gras. And not everyone's going to like it. Not everyone wants goose liver. Not everyone's going to like that. I understand that. Not a problem at all. So it's like food. You can't please everyone. So don't worry about that. But as I said, try and work with people. You know, I've got so many beekeepers. We're talking to them on the road, talking to beekeepers and work with them. You know, a good friend of mine, Neil Stuckey. I put him in the front of my book, Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. And Neil is my giant. He's an absolute awesome bloke. You know, really can count on him. And my absolute hat's off to him because he's helped prop me up. You know, given me some advice. Some of it I may not have agreed, but he gave me some advice. Most of it I agree with him. And said, you know, you should do this or should do that and work with him. And we work together. And that's why. So it's super important to find that. Now, the other thing is too, business. Now, once again, right, there's this young bloke. Now, when was it? Episode 53, Luke DeLatta. Now, this young bloke, I think at the time was 16, maybe 15, and he didn't have a driver's license. So his parents were driving him around, riding the bees, driving him around to schools to do school incursions. Now, this young bloke was absolutely making a killing, absolute killing, going to schools. Why don't we see more of that? I can't do any during spring. It's too busy working and managing bees. But why isn't there a company going out, you know, like say Good Start Early Learning Center, Monterizzi Early Learning Center. These various they're not kindergartens, they're childcare centers. There's so many of them that they approached me. They said this was, it must have been a year ago. They wanted me to, Monterizzi wanted me to do one, an incursion. So, well, we've got five different centers around Melbourne. And it was unfortunate, it was just too busy. So someone to actually do that. So this would be really, really, really cool. And education. You know, you talk to someone about bees, we all know that they will just look at you and people absolutely froth it. They really do. I was at a wedding. This would be about 10 years ago. I was with a girlfriend at the time at a wedding in Brizzy. I'll never forget this. It was on the table. There's a copper. A copper from Brizzy, and there was a pilot, and there was me. And everyone just wanted to talk about bees. And I'm like, well, I want to, you know, interesting what a copper does. I've got a couple of mates that are coppers and pilots. What an interesting job, and, you know, the day to days. But everyone wants to talk about bees. So, and there's a market there for, you know, it's public speaking. So I did one just, it was 2 weeks ago for Green Links to put in perspective what I do. So I do a talk, I do a PowerPoint presentation. I tailor it to where I'm going, you know, and depending on sometimes childcare centers, I'll take a observation hive and a whole heap of products because, you know, kids like to touch and feel and smell. I find with the adults, I do like a PowerPoint presentation. This Green Links, to give you a perspective, our talk, I charge $295 plus GST, just to give an idea. And they were more than happy with that. Now, some people, their budget's not going to work for that. That's fine, understandable. So, you know, that's when I talk about pricing. You know, I think people make the mistake, they undervalue yourself as a worker, they undervalue the bees. Now, we see this across the board with various pollination and that type of thing, being too cheap. And if you're too cheap, it's a race to the bottom. You know, you're creating a service. You're creating a very unique service. So make sure your price is high because that's super, super important. I want to be more expensive because, you know, I give as a service what we do. So I've got these little notes in the vehicles and I've got one at my factory. And I'll give you what we do. So this is so even for me as a reminder. And it goes, we sting our customers. And that's S-T-I-N-G. So S, speed of service. Spring is busy. T is for take care of the customer. I is include as much as possible during the service. N, never give wrong information. We give it right all the time. That's super important. Give good solid information. And G, give the customer honey. So whenever we do a job, I've got 240 mil hexagonal glass jars of honey. Every time we do a job, there's a jar of honey. And I tell people, that's our business card. And people like giving things. So it's super important. Give someone something. You may give them, I don't know, a stubby holder's got bees on it or something. You may give them, a piece of food, honey, make some honeycomb chocolate or something from your bees. Whenever you're working and you're with a client and you're finished, give them something because everyone remembers the thing that you gave them. So that is super, super important. And it really, it's, I can't, I'd almost say me as a business, it's word of mouth now that I've done that. We've done that so many times that people remember that. Oh, got your jar of honey from last year. It's empty. I kept it. It's got your label on it. Oh, by the way, you know, I've got this problem. Now that could be termites. I had someone ring me up and say, oh, do you do termites? Now I don't do termites. There's a special license for wood pests, but I can refer that to someone else, to a pest controller. And then that pest controller may, oh, hey, Benny, there's a bee swarm. Can you do this job? Yeah, I mean, that type of thing. So really super, super important to actually do that. Now, the other thing is, too, there's looking at different things and different avenues of income. You can do, there's the sky's the limit. There's sky's the limit. There's a product called Apilano. And that's basically using drones as opposed to, so drone larvae at a certain age, Google it, I'll put in the show notes, as opposed to royal jelly. And that's an interesting one. Why is no one marketing that? Because that's bees are like medicine. Also, I get asked for dead bees. And sometimes I say, oh, it might be, get dead bees, but people want dead bees. You know, it could be for art, that type of thing. Could be as a medicine. I know it's crazy it sounds, but apparently bees that have died have got some sort of medicinal qualities. And that's where back in episode 51, Sky Blackburn, that's her job, is selling insects as food. Once again, how niche is that? You wouldn't believe it. Insects as food. So that is so true. And So I'll just touch base on with, working with people. Don't worry about, your competitors. Be friends, not enemies. Really, really work with people. Once again, sometimes we're not going to see eye to eye, but work with them, because the more of us are working together for this industry, we're all running our own race. We're not competitive. I don't see someone else as being a competitor. I see him as being a colleague, and that's super, super important because you want to be happy doing your job. Don't think negative thoughts. Do not think negative thoughts. Wake up, be happy. And it's super important to be excited. You may be tired, maybe absolutely, absolutely stuffed, but be happy. Wake up, get in there, get in the day, because I'll tell you what, the job that we do as a beekeeper is a marvelous job. And I get people say to me, keep up the great work. We need people like you. That's what people say to me. And that goes for all you beekeepers that are listening to this episode. So I really hope that's some sort of tips and tricks. If there is any help that someone needs, I am learning. I'm always learning, trying to growth. I listen to various books, sort of self-help books. Some absolutely crackers out there. There's one, if you're after a book to read by David Schwartz, The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. Really recommend you read that one because that'll change your life. Because I've read that twice read it and also listened to it on Audible because I do so much driving. So once again, I should mention, turning that negative into a positive. That's the way I see things. Things happen. I've got a factory in Utter Wadding. This is actually funny. I've got a factory in Utter Wadding I just rent it. And the real estate sent me an email about there's a complaint. And I had this wall of beehives. That's already, so they're all swarm boxes, 8-frame boxes, all singles. And I don't know how many was there, maybe 80 or 100 or so. I made it really nice and neat. And someone complained about it. Now, rather than me going, getting the shits up and, sulking about it, I've just gone, that's fine. So managed to move them. And now it's actually better because when I reverse my trailer in there, I'm not knocking on any boxes. So how good is that? So you've got to treat every negative situation into a positive. And as I mentioned, if anyone needs a help, I'm learning, I'm always learning, always evolving, always trying to be better, getting certificates. I just recently got my forklift license. you know, I've got the truck license of, you know, various courses and things. You know, I've done public speaking courses. I've even went to comedy school to actually learn, you know, how to be better, how to be funny. You're going to be, if you find someone, a client, and, you know, throwing a few jokes, people remember that because you want to be remembered. If you go to a client or if you sell a jar of honey, when they walk away, you want them to remember you. That is super, super important. And I'm going to finish up. There's a really, really cool quote by Winston Churchill. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And that's so, so true. So I hope you enjoyed this. I want everyone to have a fantastic spring. Enjoy those bees. Really enjoy them. And if there's any help I can do for anyone, please reach out. Shoot me through a text, 0437077792. And until December, take care of yourself, take care of each other, and don't forget, take care of those bees. Bye for now.